Okay, so we are learning Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Shmuel. And if you remember, at the very end of Perek Yud of Sefer Shmuel, Shaul is chosen as the Melech. He's even anointed as the Melech. But yet we see at the end of Perek Yud that he was not universally accepted as the Melech. There were some people who accepted him and who decided to follow him. But there were also a whole group of people that did not. They were not so interested in Shaul to be their king. So Perek Yud Aleph seems to really almost leave the story and kind of switch gears to a different story. But we'll see that the stories are actually related. So Perek Yud Aleph begins, Pasuk Aleph, Vaya'al Nachash HaAmoni. So Nachash the Ammoni. Apparently he was the maybe a general of Ammon. I don't know that he was the king necessarily. Although maybe he was. I'm not sure. The pasuk is not clear. Mefarshim don't really, at least the ones that I saw, don't really talk about it. But he was some Ammoni, presumably some powerful and important Ammoni. Vayichan al Yavesh Gilad. And he comes and camps across from Yavesh Gilad. Yavesh Gilad was a place, a Jewish city. You can imagine that this is not heading in the right direction here. Vayomru kolanche Yavesh el Nachash, kiras lanu bris v'navdecha. So they see this enemy camped across from them. So the Jewish people in Yavesh Gilad send a message out to Nachash. We want to make peace. Right, we want to make a covenant. We want to make peace. Not only that, but we'll serve you. Benavdecha. Right, they recognize that that they were at a disadvantage here. They were in a position of weakness. Nachash was camped upon them, and they said, "Let's make a bris. Let's make some sort of a covenant, and we'll serve you." Right, said the Mitzudas David says they were afraid. Right, they were pashut afraid of being killed. They were afraid of being wiped out. So that's why they sent this message. Now, where did this come from? You know, why did this guy Nachash HaAmoni all of a sudden decide to launch an attack? You know, not a surprised attack, but to camp across from Yavesh Gilad and threaten them. So the Malbim says that he was jealous. Why was he jealous? Because Bnei Yisrael just appointed a king in the last parak. They appointed Shaul as the Melech. And even though it was not universally accepted, but still, this made the news, right? This was all over the news. Bnei Yisrael, they're growing, they're settled, they appointed a king. And Nachash HaAmoni was not very happy with this, because this symbolized the success of Bnei Yisrael. And that's not something that excited him. He didn't want to see the success of Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, he decided to start up with them. Now, why Yavesh Gilad? Why did he specifically start up with Yavesh Gilad? So the Malbim says, because after the story of Pilegesh Begiva at the end of Sefer Shoftim, so you'll remember that the people of Binyamin were not allowed to marry the rest of the Jewish people at first. Afterwards, finally, Klal Yisrael allowed them to join and to marry the into Bnei Yisrael, you know, again. And when they first did, the men of Binyamin married women from Pilegesh Begiva. I'm sorry, married women from Yavesh Gila. So Nachash HaAmoni thinks to himself, wait a minute, Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin. The men of Shevet Binyamin married women from Yavesh Gila. Presumably when they married women from Yavesh Gila, they probably then settled in Yavesh Gila. So probably there are people who live here in Yavesh Gila who are mishpacha with Shaul HaMelech. That's the place I want to attack. He was going after the king, because again, he was jealous about Bnei Yisrael, that they appointed a king, and he was going after the king. So that's why he dafka attacked Yavesh Gilad. Now the Alshich says that this was not just Stam, Stam a guy who's jealous of Bnei Yisrael, but the Alshich says that this was all Hashkacha Pratis. Why? Because like we said, at the end of last parak, Shaul was not accepted. He was only accepted by a small minority of Bnei Yisrael. He wasn't accepted by everyone. this story, this battle with Nachash, which we're about to see throughout this perek, is going to cement Shaul's kingdom. It's going to cement Shaul's leadership in Bnei Yisrael, and therefore says the Alshech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mesavev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused this to happen, Behashgachasa, with his Hashgacha, to enable Shaul to be accepted as king. This is not just an unrelated story. This is very much a related story, and it shows the Yad Hashem behind all of this. Pasuk Beis. Vayomer aleihem Nachash HaAmoni. So Nachash HaAmoni says to them, okay, you want peace? You want a covenant? No problem. Bezos echros lachem. This is how I'm going to give you a covenant. Binkor lachem kol ein yamin, v'samti acherpa al kol Yisrael. If every one of you gouges out your right eye, that'll be a disgrace for Bnei Yisrael, and then that'll be our covenant. That'll be our bris. Nice guy, right? Nice fellow. Okay. Now, says the Malbim, you know, what's this all about? So says the Malbim, a bris, a covenant, implies a two-way street, right? I give something and you give something. That's what a covenant is. So why should Nachash, you know, give these guys a bris? Why should he make a covenant with these fellows, right? Well, what's the point? If it's something that, you know, you're supposed to have a battle or war, and you're not going to war, okay, so that might be a reason for a covenant. Don't attack me, and we'll make a covenant. But these guys, Bnei Yisrael, were Yadam al Hatachtona, as it says, right? They were in a very weak state right here. Nachash HaAmoni was much stronger than them, and he was camped upon them. So, you know, what was in it for him? You know, we know what was in it for the Yavish Gilad. We know what was in it for the Jewish people. They wouldn't get killed. But what was in it for Nachash HaAmoni? So essentially, that's what he tells them. You know, what's in it for me? Why should I make a covenant with you? Why should I make some sort of a peace agreement with you? So Nachash HaAmoni comes up with something creative, because he says, you know what? The only thing that really I have in all this is I want the disgrace of Bnei Yisrael. That's what I want. Right now, Bnei Yisrael is on top. They're getting settled. They appointed a king. I want to knock them down a few notches. I want to disgrace them. I want to embarrass them. That's what I want. So if you all gouge out your right eye and show that you had to debase yourself so much, you had to disgrace yourself so much before me, and no one from Bnei Yisrael came to your rescue, no one from Bnei Yisrael came to save you, that will disgrace Bnei Yisrael. That will knock Bnei Yisrael down a few notches. Says Nachash, I'm in. I'm in. Because then there's something for me. Right? Then there's something for me in this covenant, in this bris. And that's why he demanded this. So that's the Pashup shot, that's what he wanted them to do. And again, you know, Bnei Yisrael were defenseless. The people of Yavesh Gilead were defenseless. They couldn't, you know, there was nothing they could do about it. That was going to be the disgrace. That was going to knock them down a few notches. And that's what Nachash HaAmoni wanted. I mean, it seems like that way, but the Mefarshim say that no, that this was all a setup from Hashem. We'll see why. Okay. So the Rashi does bring a medrash. Rashi does bring a medrash that says that he wasn't literally asking them to gouge out their right eyes. That's what the pasuk says. That's not that the pasuk shot in the pasuk is that's what it means. But the medrash says that's not what he wanted. What he wanted was to disgrace the Torah. And the Ein Yamin, the right eye, refers to the Torah. Because the Torah was given with the right hand, right? The Torah, the right hand is the strong hand. So the Torah was given with the right hand. The Torah is the ayin through which we see the world. We see the world through the lens of the Torah. So the Ein Yamin refers to the Torah. He wanted the Torah. and he wanted to gouge out the Torah. What does that mean, to gouge out the Torah? So says Nachash Amoni, you know, I heard that it says in your Torah that Amoni lo yavo b'kal Hashem. It says in the Torah that an Amoni cannot marry into the Jewish people. So he was furious. What do you mean an Amoni can't marry into the Jewish people? What's wrong with Amoni? So because of that, he wanted the Torah and he wanted to burn the Torah. That was how he wanted to disgrace Bnei Yisrael. Not to physically gouge out their eyes, but to take their right eye, meaning the Torah, and gouge it, totally destroy it, burn it. That's what he wanted, because it says in the Torah that an Amoni cannot marry into Bnei Yisrael. Now that's the Medrash. Again, Pashup Shat is that it's literal, but that's the Medrash. Okay. So what's their response? Pasuk Gimel. Vayomru Elav Ziknei Yavesh. So the elders of Yavesh Gilad reply to Nachash Amoni, and they say, Heref Lanu Shivas Yamin. Let us go for 7 days. Right? Heref, Metzudas Dovid says, is from the language of Rifyon. Weaken your grip. Right? Let us go for 7 days. In Yavesh Gilad. Yeah, he didn't surround them, but he camped across from them, it sounds like. It wasn't a siege, but he was going to attack them. And what do they say to him? V'nishlecha malachim b'chol gvul Yisrael. Let us send messengers throughout Eretz Yisrael. V'im Moshia osanu v'yotzanu v'elecha. If no one's going to come to our rescue, so then we'll come out. Then we'll come out and you'll do what you want. They sent messengers that if nobody will come help us. Okay, I don't remember 100%. Give us time to collect. I gotta look back. Okay, now, so it's a very, to me, that when I first read this, a very strange pasuk. He's about to attack them. So they're saying, give us 7 days to call up the reinforcements. Why would he wait? Right? Why is he going to wait around, you know, for them to get all the reserves and all the reinforcements to come defend them? So to me, it's a very strange pasuk. But the Metzudas Dovid said there was a lumdus here. What was their logic? What did Nachash want? Nachash wanted to disgrace Bnei Yisrael, right? So what's their response to him? You're a coward. You're a coward. You're a powerful soldier, powerful warrior. You're coming upon this defenseless city. That's going to be your pride, right? That's going to be your pride that you come upon a defenseless city and you defeat them and you gouge out their eyes. Shkoyach, right? That doesn't show anything. That doesn't show that you're a gibor. It doesn't show that you're a warrior. You want to disgrace Bnei Yisrael? So give them a chance. Inform them what you want to do, right? See if they come. And then no one comes. Now they're disgraced because now they're all scared of you. That's why they didn't come. So they came at him with a logic. You want to be a chashuv. You want to be a powerful warrior. You want to disgrace Bnei Yisrael. That's fine. But you got to let them know what you're doing. Don't be a coward, right? Don't hide behind it. Be honest. Tell everybody what you're doing. Let people come and defend themselves, and then you'll defeat them. Or if they don't come, then that means they're scared of you, right? But you got to let them know. Nachash said, you know, it's good. It's a good suggestion. You're right, right? And that was what they said. So give us 7 days, and let's see if anybody comes. I'm sorry? Yeah. And he said, yeah, you're right. You know what? I want the chashivas. I don't want to defeat a defenseless city. You're right. What's that going to do for me? Pasuk Dalet. Vayavou ha-malachim givas sha'ul. Right? So the messengers, the Yavesh Gilad, the city, they send messengers, and the messengers come to givas sha'ul. Right? We know this is a place today in Yerushalayim, givas sha'ul. I'm not sure if it's exactly the same place, but givas sha'ul. So So they tell the people what's going on, you know, what Nachash HaAmoni said. Vayisu chol ha'ames kolam vayivku. So they start crying and wailing, right? Oh, terrible, what a terrible gzeira, what a terrible decree. Nachash HaAmoni, what's he going to do? Terrible, terrible. Now, why'd they send the malachim there? Why'd they pick Givas Sha'ul? So Givas Sha'ul was the place where Sha'ul lived. That's why it was called Givas Sha'ul, right? Why did they send the messenger specifically there? Because, okay, so there's no palace yet. Because remember, at the end of the Perek, he wasn't really accepted by the majority of Bnei Yisrael. He was appointed king, but that was it, right? So there was no palace, but this was his hometown. And says the Malbim, that the people of Yavesh Gilad says, you know what? We might as well send this to the king. Meaning it's true that not everyone accepted him as king yet. But he was anointed and selected as the king. Let's try it out. We've got a new king, right? So we want to send the message somewhere. Let's send it to the new king. So they send it to Givas Sha'ul. And they figured Sha'ul, the new king, is going to find out about this. And let's see, maybe he can save us. Maybe he can do something. Giva.
So the same
same place. Yeah, it was Giva. The place was called Giva. They called it, now we're referring to it as Givas Sha'ul. Givas Sha means to give up. I believe so, yeah. Givas Sha, yeah. Yeah. To give up, yeah. Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Okay, so now, Sha'ul wasn't home. Pasuk Hey. Vihinei Sha'ul ba acharei habakar min asada. Sha'ul is coming in from the field, right? Following the cattle. What does this mean? He's following the cattle from the field. So the Radak says, you know, after the end of Perek Yud, he wasn't accepted as king. So Shaul went home. What did he do when he got home? He went back to work, right? He wasn't the king yet. There was no kingdom yet. Nobody accepted him. So he went back to work. He went back to, you know, tending to the cattle and doing all the things that he normally did out on the farm. So he was coming back with the farmers behind the cattle. And that's how he came back here. Metzudas David says that also, since he wasn't accepted yet as king, he didn't carry himself like the king. A king doesn't walk behind the cattle, right? But so even though technically he was the melech, but since in practice he wasn't yet the melech, so he didn't carry himself like a melech. So he was walking behind the cattle. Yeah, Mistama, people knew what a king was, and people knew, you know, how a king should carry himself and conduct himself, but he didn't feel like he had to do that yet, right? Because he wasn't the king yet. Right. Correct. No, there was no code of conduct. No manual. Well, for now, because he felt that, you know, listen, there's no palace yet, and I'm not getting any covet as the king. So I might as well make a living, you know, tending to the cattle. But he didn't carry himself as a king.
Did Shmuel know what was going on?
Shmuel knew. I mean, presumably Shmuel knew. Yeah, I mean, we'll see Shmuel gets involved here a little bit later. But presumably Shmuel knew what was going on. So Shaul's coming in with the cattle. Hayomer Shaul Malaam Kiyivku. What's going on? Why is everybody crying, right? He comes back from work. And he sees the whole town, everybody's crying and wailing. What's going on here? Why is everybody crying? And he tells them, right? I'm sorry, the people of the city, they tell them what the messengers from Yavesh Gilad told them. About Nachash HaAmoni and his terrible plan. Now the Malbim says that this was no coincidence that it mentions the Bakar here, because we'll see in a minute that this gives Shaul an idea. The fact that he was following the cattle is actually going to give him an idea. Now, what's Shaul's reaction? Pasuk Vav. Batitzlach Ruach Elokim al Shaul. So this Ruach Elokim, the spirit of Hashem, descends upon Shaul, Kishamu es advarim ha'ele, as he hears this story, as he hears these words, Vayichar apo me'od. And he is furious. He's furious. Now, the Ruach Elokim, if you remember, we had in Perek Yud also, Pasuk Yud, we also had Ruach Elokim there, right? He was a new lave and a Ish Acher, right? He had a Ruach Elokim. So there the Malbim says that it was twofold, that Ruach Elokim. It was a physical gvura, a physical courage and strength that he got, you know, anew when Shmuel anointed him as king. And then there was also this spirit of nevuah that enveloped him, that we saw in last parak, that Shaul was being menabe, that he was prophesying. Here the Radak says this was just a spirit of courage. This was a gvura that washed over him as he hears this news, and he's furious. Says the Malbim, interesting, it's fascinating. The Malbim here quotes someone that he refers to as the Choker. I don't know who it is. I even tried to find out. I asked around a little bit, some other rabbis. I didn't get a response. People didn't know who this, at least as of yet. If I find out, I'll let you know. But I don't know who the Choker is. But he quotes this Choker. You know, the Choker is like an analyzer. You know, someone who analyzes things, who looks into things. And he says that when people hear about an avla, people hear about something terrible that someone else did, right? So here, like Nachash HaAmoni, this terrible thing that he's threatening the people of Yavesh Gilead. So there's two reactions, says the Malbim. A weak person will be upset, will be sad. A strong person will be angry. So Shaul's anger here, Vayichar Apo Me'od, shows you that he has this courage, shows you that he's now a strong person. He has this Ruach Elokim, this kingly courage. Right, that the fact that it's Vayichar Apo Me'od and he's very angry, so that shows what this is all about, that he has this courage. What does he do in his anger? Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach Tzemed Bakar. He takes a yoke of cattle, right? Yoke as in Y-O-K-E, right? So he takes the yoke, has two cows in it, he picks them up, Vayinatchehu, and he tears them apart. He tears these cows apart. Vayishlach b'chol gvul Yisrael. And he sends pieces of the cow throughout all of the land of Israel. B'yad ha-malachim, in the hands of these messengers, Lamor, to say, Asher einenu yotze acharei Shaul v'achar Shmuel. Anyone who does not follow me and Shmuel out to battle, kol ye'ase livukaro. This is what will happen to your cattle. This is what will happen to your animals. No, by me. He's threatening them. The people are struck with fear and they all come out. They all come rushing out. Now, so what's going on here? Well, what's he doing? So before we get to the symbolism behind this, so he's clearly sending a message to Bnei Yisrael, right? That's clear. He's got to threaten them. Right? Yeah, but I think it's the cattle also. It's the yoke of cattle, meaning it was like two cows in a yoke, it sounds like. Yeah, I think so. So the Radak says also, it's interesting, he adds Shmuel's name into this. What does he say? Why does he add Shmuel's name? To make it sound more real, especially because not everybody accepted him. So he's going to say, whoever doesn't come after me, what about all those people that didn't accept him? But if you add Shmuel's name, everybody accepts Shmuel, right? Everybody knows Shmuel is the Gadol Hador, right? It's like today you put Reb Chaim Kanievsky's name behind everything, right? Everybody just says Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Gadol Hador. Right? Meanwhile, he probably doesn't know all these things that people are saying in his name, right? He's just sitting and learning, but that's what people do. So Shmuel probably was behind this, I would imagine. So he says, whoever doesn't come out after me and Shmuel, this is what's going to happen to you. Now it's interesting. At the end of the pasuk, what does it say? Vayipol pachad Hashem al ha'am. So the Metzudas David says, you know, it does not say pachad shol. It doesn't say pachad habakar, right? The people were not scared. It's not just that they were scared of Shaul or scared of their cows being torn apart. They were scared of Hashem. There was a yiras elokim. There was a fear of Hashem that came about because of this. Why? because they realized, you know what? Shaul is the king. Shaul is the king, right? That was clear in last parak. Shmuel made the whole selection in front of everyone. It was very clear Shaul was the king. So it's one thing to turn your back and to walk away and not accept him. But once he tells you to do something and you don't listen, that's scary. Right? That the people already were not willing to do. They were afraid of disobeying Hashem's appointed king. Because they knew in the end of the day, Hashem appointed this king. So again, it's one thing just to turn their back and say, we don't accept you. But once he tells them to do something, how can we disobey him? Hashem appointed him as the king. Hashem selected him. How can we disobey him? That's the Pachad Hashem. So ki ishechad, vayetzu ki ishechad, what does he say? They came out quickly, united. They all said, okay, we got to go. That's it. Enough, right? We can't deny this any longer. Once he's telling us to do things, we can't play games here. This is Hashem's selection. We can't mess around with Hashem. Correct. But now we're saying even in all of Bnei Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael, he's sending these pieces. Yes, but that's what we learned in last parak. They weren't very happy because Shaul was too frum. Right? They didn't want such a frum king. They wanted a king who was gonna judge them and lead them like all the other kings of the nations. Right? Shaul was too frum a guy. We weren't looking for such a frum king. Right? That's what they were upset about. Now the Malbim says, what's the symbolism behind this? Right? There's gotta be something here. What's this business with the tearing of the pieces of the cow and sending them all to Eretz, to all around Eretz Yisrael? So he says, first of all, the Bakar, remember we learned a couple of psukim ago that Shaul was following the Bakar. He was behind the cattle. So that triggered this idea in his head, right? That's what gave him this idea. It says the Malbim, the anger that he had for what Nachash was doing and this idea that he had about the Bakar was channeled into this incident. So tearing out, the cows apart, that was an expression of anger. But this was a positive expression of that anger. He was channeling it in the proper way. What's the symbolism behind this? So says the Malbim, the symbolism was that just like a cow can't live unless it's complete, unless it's whole. You tear it apart limb by limb, and you have a limb here and a limb there, the cow can't live. So too, says the Malbim, Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael can only thrive when we are whole, when we're all together. All of the Shvatim, all of the cities, all of the members of Bnei Yisrael, together, joining forces, right? Everyone standing up for, right? Every piece of Bnei Yisrael standing up for the other piece. That's how Bnei Yisrael can thrive. The people of Yavesh Gilad are in trouble. Every single Jew has to stand up and has to do their part to make and rush to their defense to make sure that they're going to be okay. That's the job of every Jew. You're all part of one whole. You're all part of one collective. And that's why the threatened punishment was that the people's livestock would be torn up. Mida keneged mida. Right? If you don't come, you're showing, I don't feel that I'm part of Bnei Yisrael. Right? I don't feel like I'm part of Yavesh Gilad. That's a separate city. That's not my city. Right? Shmuel says, says no. Right? Then your cattle will be torn apart. You think things can function on their own? So fine, you'll have a leg here and an arm there and a head here and see how your cow operates. Klal Yisrael can't operate like that. Just like your cow can't operate like that. And he says, that's why at the end of the pasuk it says, Vayetzu ki ish echad. It's not just they came out united and quickly like the Mitzudas David says. That's also true. But it says the Malbim ki ish echad, they recognized the point that he was making. They understood the point that Shaul was making. They appreciated the point. You're right. We're ki ish echad. Yavesh Gilad's in trouble. That means we're in trouble. Right? Kol Yisrael arevim zevazeh. A Jew is in trouble somewhere, we're going after them. Exactly. Now I was thinking, he doesn't say this here, but I was thinking that the same thing, we said a very similar idea, the Malbim himself said a very similar idea when it came to Pilegish Begiva. Remember the story of Pilegish Begiva, where the man dismembered the Pilegish and sent a piece, right, all across the country. And what was the point there? The Malbim said the same thing. Right? We're all part of one collective whole. If Shevet Binyamin did something wrong, it's your fault also. It's your responsibility. Right? So here it's a different twist. Because here it's focusing on, you know, rushing to the defense of the people of Yavish Gilad. But says the Malbim, says Shaul HaMelech, according to the Malbim, we're all in this together. Yavish Gilad's in trouble. I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. Everyone's in trouble. Let's go. And let's go fight. That was the message of Shaul HaMelech. Pasuk Ches, Vayifkedeim Bevazek. So he counts them in Bezek. Now, Rashi says a couple of different interpretations here. Either Bezek was the name of the place where they were counted. We find in Sefer Shoftim, Bezek was the name of a place. Some say Bezek also refers to shards of pottery or stones. Maybe that's how he counted them. Just like Bnei Yisrael in times of the Torah were counted by the Machtzis HaShekel, that maybe here they each gave like a little stone or they each gave a shard of pottery and they counted them up and that's how they counted Bnei Yisrael. Okay, but either way, Vayu Bnei Yisrael Shlosh Meos Elef, the Ish Yehuda Shloshim Elef. There were 300,000 Jewish men plus 30,000 from Shevet Yehuda and they went. Pasuk Tes. Vayomru Lamalachim Haboim. So they said to the messengers who had come to give Ashol, Ko somrun leish Yavesh Gilad. This is what you should tell the people of Yavesh Gilad. Machar tielochem teshua kechom ayom. Tomorrow, midday, will be a Yeshua. We're going to come save you. Tomorrow, midday. Vayavo hamalochim vayagidu la'anche Yavesh vayismachu. So they came back to Yavesh Gilad. They told him the good news. Shaul's coming with an army. Tomorrow, midday, you have nothing to worry about. Vayismachu. The people are thrilled. Right, they're elated. Baruch Hashem, we're going to be saved. They send a message now to Nachash. Vayomru anshe Yavish. So the people of Yavish send a message to Nachash. Machar neitzei aleichem. Tomorrow we're going to come out to you. Va'asisem lono kichol hatov be'eneichem. And you do to us whatever you want. Okay, you do to us whatever you want. It says in Mesudas Davar, they were tricking them. Right? They were implying, yeah, you'll gouge out our eyes. Right? No one came to our defense. It's the end of 7 days. No one came to our defense. So tomorrow we're going to come out and you'll gouge out our eyes. And that will be the disgrace of Bnei Yisrael. Okay, says the Malbim, but they were also hinting, tomorrow we're coming out to you. Right? You know, you'll try to do whatever you want to us, but we're coming out for you tomorrow. Right? It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle tomorrow. It's not going to be so easy. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayihimi Macharas. Vayosim Sholas Ha'am Shlosha Roshim. So the next day, Shaul splits up the camp into three groups. And they launch a surprise attack against Nachash HaAmoni. Against Nachash HaAmoni, they launch a surprise attack. And it's Bashmores Haboker. It's the last watch. Right? The nighttime was broken up into three watches. The first part of the night, the middle of the night, and the last part of the night. This is the last part of the night. Right before daybreak, right before daybreak. Even nowadays, I think a lot of army missions and battles begin at that time, right before dawn, pre-dawn, because that way it's dark. You know, people are sleeping. Boom! Surprise attack. Vayakus Amon ad chom hayom, and they defeat Amon. They beat Amon throughout the day until the heat of the day until midday. Vayhi hanisharim. And whoever was left from Amon by Afutsu was scattered. Velo nisharu vom shnayim yochad. You didn't find two Amoni soldiers together, right? Either they were dead, either the Amoni soldiers were dead, or they were single soldiers running here, running there, fleeing the scene. Nobody was together. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomer ha'am el Shmuel. So the nation, they see what just happened. Right, Shaul HaMelech came to save Yavesh Gilad, wipes the floor with Amon. So they see, okay, he's legit, right? This is our king. He's got what it takes. So the nation turns to Shmuel and they said, you see how people change their tune. Mi ha'omer Shaul yimloch aleinu. Who are the ones who questioned and said, how can Shaul rule over us? Who are those people? Tenu ha'anashim unamisei. Hand them over. We're going to kill them now. Right? You see, all of a sudden, everybody's in Shaul's corner. The tide has turned. Right? Now they see Shaul's for real. And now let's kill all those people that wanted to rebel against Shaul. Right? the Malbim says they thought they were Chayiv Misa. Right? Why? It's Morid B'Malchus. Shaul was the Melech now. These people are Morid B'Malchus, they're Chayiv Misa. So Pasuk Yud Gimel, Shaul says, okay, slow down everyone. Thanks for your support. Well, let's just calm down. Vayomer Shaul lo yumas ish bayom azeh. No one's going to die today. Ki hayom asa Hashem teshua b'Yisrael. Because today HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Yeshua. Today HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Yeshua. Now there's two ways of understanding this. The Metzudas David says, the day that Hashem made a Yeshua is like a Yontif. Right? Hashem granted us a Yeshua. Hashem granted us a miraculous victory. It's like a Yontif. We can't kill people on a Yontif. Right? Even if people are Chayiv Misa, we're not going to go and start killing people on a Yontif. It's a joyous day. It's a happy day. The Malbim says a little bit differently. He explains a little bit differently. And he says that Hayom Asa Hashem Teshua B'Yisrael. Today, my kingdom was cemented. Until now, I wasn't really the king because I wasn't accepted by the majority of the people. So even those people who said, right, Shol Yimloch Aleinu, not even those people that didn't really want me as king, they weren't Morid B'Malchus because there was no Malchus yet. Right? There was no established kingdom yet. So you can't hold them responsible. We can't kill them. Pasuk Yudalid. So Shmuel says, you know what? He's right. But let's establish it now. Vayomer Shmuel el ha'om l'chu v'nelcha ha'gilgal v'nechadesh shom ha'melucha. So Shmuel says he's right. The kingdom was not established until now, but now it is. So let's go to Gilgal and let's reestablish. V'nechadesh shom ha'melucha, let's reestablish the kingdom. Now that everyone's on board, Baruch Hashem, everyone's behind Shaul, so let's reestablish the kingdom. What? So he was anointed and he was selected, but he wasn't accepted. So now they have to make like an official inauguration, you know, an official investiture of Shaul as the king. Now what's strange is that why Gilgal? Right? I mean, we recognize the name Gilgal. Gilgal was the place where they had the Mishkan, the Ol Moed, and the Aron when they first came into Eretz Yisrael in times of Yoshua. But it hasn't been there in a while. Now we're in Nov. At this point, it's in Nov. With Shiloh, right? So why is Shmuel going back to Gilgal? Strange. So says the Radak that he chose Gilgal to give kavod to the Aron and the Ol Moed. And even though they were no longer in Gilgal, even though they were in, now they're in Nov, but since they were in Gilgal when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, that's a chash of a place. It's a holy place. And we're going to begin the Melucha from there. Maybe the connection also is the fact that just like we started our stay in Eretz Yisrael with the Aron and Gilgal, so now we're going to start the next phase of the Melech. Right? The next phase of the Melech, we're going to start in Gilgal as well. It reminded me of the Gemara in Brachos tells us that a person has to be very careful to give honor to a Zakein who forgot his learning. Not because he was negligent and he didn't review his learning, but a Zakein, Nebuch was sick. Right? You have a Talmid Chacham, a tremendous Gadol Hador, who's 100 years old and he can't remember his learning anymore. Right? So how do you treat him? So says the Gemara in Brachos, you got to treat him like the Gadol Hador. Even if he doesn't remember his learning anymore, you got to treat him like the Gadol Hador because of what he had, because of what he represented. And he says that's why both the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos, both the complete set of Luchos and the broken Luchos were both in the Aron. The broken Luchos also had a Kedusha. So a person, the Talmid Chacham, who forgets his learning is like the broken Luchos, right? He doesn't have his Torah anymore. But since he was a Gadol, he was a Talmid Chacham, you got to treat him as such. So here too, presumably, that because Gilgal had the Aron, had the Ol Moed in there, so therefore there was a certain Kedusha. Why Dafka Gilgal now? I think because, you know, we're starting the Melucha. It's like starting Eretz Yisrael all over again. And then finally, Pasuk Tesvav, Vayelchu kol ha'ama Gilgal, Vayamlichu Shom es Shol lifnei Hashem ba'Gilgal. They went to Gilgal, and they coronated Shol as the king, lifnei Hashem. And again, the Metzudas Tov says, why lifnei Hashem? Because anytime you have Rov Tzibur, Anytime you have the majority of the Bnei Yisrael together, that's the Shekhinah is there, Lifnei Hashem. Vayizbichu Sham Zvachim Shalomim Lifnei Hashem. They bring Karbanos, they bring Shalomim before Hashem. Vayismach Sham Shaul V'chol Anshei Yisrael Ad Me'od. And everybody is rejoicing. Everybody's elated. Shaul has been accepted as the king over Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has a new king that has proven himself to be courageous, that has proven himself to be a leader and a warrior. And Baruch Hashem, everyone is happy. And this is the real beginning of the Malchus of Shaul. As we know, it doesn't last so long, but this is the real beginning of the Malchus of Shaul. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Killed. He was killed. It did not talk about Nachash being killed, right? But presumably, because of the way it described the battle, it sounds like Nachash didn't make it.